I'm Mark Bashore. Welcome back to Current State here on WKAR. Next Tuesday, Michigan residents will cast a ballot that's filled with choices from the presidency of the United States, the local school boards. There's a lot for voters to consider on November 8th. This election could see historic turnout at the polls, and officials want every voter to make well-informed decisions about their future political leaders. Today, we welcome two guests to talk about the importance of voter education. They both represent the same organization. Beth Moore and Camilla Davis are the co-presidents of the Lansing Area Chapter of the League of Women Voters of Michigan. Beth and Camilla, thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Welcome.
Let's start with a little history first. When was the League of Women Voters founded? What was its original purpose?
It was founded in 1920, following the passage of the 19th Amendment and women being allowed to vote. It came out of that movement, and it was an effort to educate citizens and get citizens involved in the political process.
And women who had never voted before, informing them. What kind of work does the League do these days? Not just leading up to the election cycle, but around the clock.
Well, we're always busy. We do a lot of voter education. We provide nonpartisan information, especially before an election, with voter guides, both online and in print. And Beth probably will go into those in detail because she's been done our local voter guides. We do education in the schools. We go into classrooms invited by government teachers and put on presentations mm-hmm. about how to vote and why it's important to vote. And then while we're there, we register 18-year-olds or those who will be 18 by Election Day.
You register people in the schools?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then we do, of course, the traditional voter registration drives, which we're identified with, but we're finding that a lot of people are registered because of the motor voter work with the Secretary of State's office. So we're always busy and we do a lot.
I understand the last few days you've been training volunteers to be poll watchers for next Tuesday. What does that entail, Beth?
It means they will simply be observers at the polling place. This is something we've done for several or two other elections, and it's part of a national project. And it's the purpose is really for us to learn more about the election process, to identify areas that we can work in the future for educating voters. What are the things that voters aren't understanding when they go to vote? And then really honing in our educational efforts. In the last election, we really noted how many MSU students were confused about where they were to vote. Mm-hmm. And so we really made an effort this year to encourage them to look at their phones and go to the Secretary of State's website or our Vote 411 to find out where they really are registered.
Can't do anything without looking at your phone.
Right? No.
Look at your phones. It's all there somewhere.
Right.
Educating these potential voters is really at the core of your mission. Certainly that means staying current on each crop of candidates for a variety of offices. Can you describe for us how the League does that research?
Well, when we determine who's going to be on the ballot, we send them questionnaires asking them to submit information. They all answer the same questions. And this starts at the national level. There are three levels to the League. There's national, state, and local. So the national handles the nationwide elections. State will publish a voter guide that covers the statewide offices, and then we do that at the local level. So every candidate gets a set of questions that they can respond to if they wish, and we publish their responses and into a voter guide so voters can make their own choices.
We're talking about voter education and the importance of making well-informed decisions on Election Day. Beth Moore and Camilla Davis are co-presidents of the Lansing chapter of the League of Women Voters of Michigan. Your research ultimately goes into these voter guides, Beth, which the League publishes for voting districts across the state. Go a little deeper with us. What kinds of information are in the voter guides?
The answers to the questions, as well as general information about getting an absentee ballot and registration deadlines and those kinds of things. The candidates also provide biographical information so that it's a way to for a voter to have some idea of the background on that candidate and what their priorities are. We have gather the information really at all levels in terms of the offices. And so we've gathered information on townships and school board elections, as well as state representatives and other county commissioners and county offices. Not all of that information is available in our printed voter guide. That would be far too many pages, but it is available on the league's website, vote411.org. That website, you put in your address and you get the ballot, the people that you will be voting on for all those offices, those many offices that we vote on in Michigan.
If people want a paper printed voter guide, how do they get one?
Probably the best place is the libraries. We've also gotten them out into other public places, but the library is probably the best place. Libraries are the best place.
Yeah. How do you tailor your messages to different groups? Do you present your information differently to college students, for example, than seniors or minorities, and so on?
Are you talking in terms of when we do a presentation to?
Yeah, I suppose
not,
so.
Not our voter information is all the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's all. But when we go in to talk to groups, it depends on who we're talking to. When we go into the high schools, we have a PowerPoint that we do that talks about how to vote, why to vote, a little bit of the history of voting. If we're going to do a presentation to an adult group, we might tailor that to the group. I recently did one for a church group, lunch group, and it was tailored to their questions about proposals on the ballot, some statistics about voting, who votes, mm-hmm. how often, just things they were interested in. We went to Bertram Hills Retirement Community and did a presentation on absentee ballots. So, yes, we do tailor it. We ask them what they're interested in knowing.
When you run into an alienated voter or an apathetic voter, do you have a particular message for those people? I mean, do you say, hey, do you vigorously promote the process, or do you engage in some degree of persuasion there, or what?
I try to really help them see how much voting affects their daily lives, that it isn't just voting for president, it's voting for local offices that affect their everyday lives in terms of schools, in terms of the economy, in terms of the environment. I try to find some specific example that might relate to that person. I think that's perhaps the best avenue is seeing how it affects. Somehow people have gotten an idea that it doesn't affect me, and it does affect all of us.
Camilla, you referred earlier to the impact of the motor voter law, which means you're automatically registered to vote when you get your driver's license. So that would indicate that we have a very high percentage of eligible voters actually registered.
We do.
But the challenge is turnout. Do you have any recent stats about that trend?
Oh, well, I just saw one recently that said a low 50% voted in the last presidential election. We're hoping for a much better turnout this year. I think the clerks seem to be prepared for a larger turnout.
I think this one is going to be above average, above the mean, for sure. We're talking with Camilla Davis and Beth Moore. They are the co-presidents of the Lansing chapter of the League of Women Voters. Now, the League's come into some criticism over the years for not really being nonpartisan, because either it's national organization or state and local organizations, I guess, sometimes do voice support or opposition to particular policies. Is that correct?
Yes, the league has two arms. The voter service is what we're best known for, probably, but we also take stands on issues, but only after careful member study and consensus on an issue. So we develop a position on a particular issue. It's sometimes those particular positions that people may disagree with and then label in certain ways.
Do you try to have a firewall between the policy side and between the voter education?
Yes.
I imagine you try to separate those two, much like a newspaper separates the editorial page from its
That's
reporting. Okay.
Good.
I mean, under the umbrella of the League of Women Voters, it takes positions but still calls itself nonpartisan. Does that ever bother you? How do you respond to people who say you shouldn't call yourselves nonpartisan if you've got a policy wing taking particular positions?
Well, when there's a ballot proposal at the state level, we study it and we decide if it fits in with something that we have, what we call positions, that our league stances on certain issues. And we decide how it fits in with those. And we'll decide whether we're going to take a stance on that, either for or against. But we don't do that on every single policy or every single, ballot proposal. Mm-hmm. Now, there are local ballot proposals that we could take a stance on if it fit with our positions, but we don't choose to do that on any right now, because there are quite a few ballot proposals locally. But we don't follow any party. We never support or oppose any candidate. And if some issue ballot proposal happens to fall in with some candidate's policies or program, we'll still take a position on the proposal. But when we publish our voter guides, they will publish pro and con.
And that is kind of that's the equivalent of the reporting in the newspaper as opposed to the editorial page the newspaper. Got it. Okay. Back in 2013, Michigan passed a series of campaign finance and disclosure laws that affect so-called issue ads. And the laws said that the ads didn't have to specifically disclose the name of a campaign donor, but instead include a disclaimer that says this ad was authorized by fill in the blank. Do you have any thoughts about how that messaging affects voters? Does the league actively push against those kinds of ads?
The league has positions favoring full disclosure of who is funding an ad. We have strong feelings about lessening the impact of money on our political system. We're concerned about the way ads are now with people not being able to know who's funding them.
Ian, what is the website here that people can go to avail themselves of what you're about and any information?
Well, we do have a local league website, and probably the easiest way to get there, because it has a very unusual address, is just to Google League of Women Voters Lansing area.
Okay.
And that has a lot of background information on the local league. We do want to stress that we are labeled League of Women Voters of League of Women Voters, but men are welcome. And so we do have quite a number of male members. And also, league membership is open to anyone 16 or older. So we are encouraging young people to get involved. Mm. If information on the state league, it's League of Women Voters of Michigan, and they have a very nice website. and then League of Women Voters, lwv.org would take you to the national. So there's lots of ways to learn about what the league does.
And your poll watchers won't be stopping people from taking ballot selfies next Tuesday.
Actually, poll watchers just observe.
Understood. We've been talking about voter education efforts and making informed choices at the polls on Election Day this coming Tuesday. Beth Moore and Camilla Davis are co-presidents of the Lansing chapter of the League of Women Voters of Michigan. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.